Last hour, we talked about the financial help that's available to community members looking to start a business or for farms or nonprofits or childcare facilities. Now we'll focus on another organization providing help in a different way. Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice provides medically necessary health and supportive care services to Central Vermonters in the comfort and privacy of home. Emily McKenna is the Director of Marketing and Communications. Emily, nice to have you on Vermont Viewpoint today.
Hi, thank you.
And Diana Moore is the Bereavement Coordinator at CVHHH, and thank you for being with us today, Diana.
Thanks for having me.
If you've got a question, listeners, or a comment about CVHHH, you can give us a call at 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. If you or a loved one enlisted their services, we'd love to hear from you. You can also email us at vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. So, Emily, give us an overview of what CVHHH does.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. So we are, as you said, we're a not-for-profit visiting nurse association. And I should add that there are 9 visiting nurse associations in the state of Vermont. So every Vermonter has access to care through one of our organizations, through the network of VNAs in Vermont. And I think to put it simply, what we do is we bring care to people at home, and we bring care, kind of to anyone who needs it, regardless of their ability to pay for the services, and for, people at all stages of life. So we care for pregnant women while they're pregnant and after they give birth. We kind of, throughout a person's whole life, there are many ways in which we could help them, bringing skilled nursing care to them at home, wound care, PT after a joint replacement. And then as people get towards the end of their life, Diana's part of our hospice and palliative care team, we go into people's homes and we give them interdisciplinary wraparound care to help them through the end-of-life process.
And who are the people you serve?
We serve 23 communities in Washington County and Orange County. The majority, we serve all of Washington County and 3 communities in Orange. And, again, it's kind of anyone who needs our care. We will most likely figure out a way to give them the care that they need. And again, it's anyone from newborn babies to people at the very end of life. I was just speaking with someone yesterday. He lives in Montpelier, and his father was living at Westview Meadows, and his dad turned 100 last year, and he's now living with him at home, and we provide personal care services and companionship. So it's really... there's a full spectrum of people that we could potentially care for and do care for.
Diana, it's something we might not want to think about, but it's an important service. This is the bereavement. How do you work with people in this area?
Well, mostly by phone right now. I have offered visits in the past to family members who have lost loved ones on hospice care. That's my primary focus, is to provide grief support for all of the family members that need it in some way or other, whether it's through talking one-on-one or through our support groups that we provide now with Zoom, thankfully, to technology, or referring them to other folks if need be, too.
What kind of coping techniques do you teach or provide to people who have experienced the loss of a loved one?
Oh, that is something we talk a lot about, especially in the grief support groups. Talking about it is one of the primary coping techniques. Sometimes people want to shove it under the rug, you know,
right,
and not address it. Or we get encouraged by our culture, too, to move on, get over it. So we talk a lot about talking about it. Tell the stories about your loved ones. Share how you're feeling, because that's really the only way to move through it. And we talk about that, too, not getting over but moving through. And we also do a lot with breath, just taking some deep breaths when we can. That's the easiest thing to do.
Breathing, wow,
just
a simple
breathing.
Technique. But
yeah.
But how does talking about it because it can be so painful. It can it's just physically racking sometimes to bring it back up again and talk about it. How does that help someone who's trying to get through the grieving process?
It's such a good question. To allow ourselves to move into the pain is very important, and we live in a culture, again, that doesn't really encourage us to do that. There are lots of pain remedies, you know, and we're not encouraged to move through pain. But really that's the only way to get through it, is to go into it, and to do that with help, you know, if that's helpful. Some people can do it on their own. Some people need help. Someone, whether it's a good friend or a family member or a minister or a counselor, a group. And that's the only way, because it's going to come up for us anyway. If we try to push it aside, our feelings, grief has a way of doing that. It comes up when we least expect it, if we keep pushing it aside. So to purposely address it and meet it head on is healthier.
Emily, I want to focus a bit on the home part of home health and hospice. You know, why is that such an important H in the CVHHH idea?
I think Diana can certainly talk about that question from the point of view of someone and their family dealing with the end of life. But mm-hmm. I mean, I think really generally, you know, what do you have at home? You have your belongings, and you have your family, and you have the ability to kind of, as much as you can, continue with your daily routine and to do the things that bring meaning into your life. And I think under almost all circumstances, there's a lot of value to being able to heal at home if you can. I think there are probably studies that say people who can heal at home have experienced a better quality of life, and they probably heal more quickly than they do in certain circumstances than if they were to go to a facility. I just think there's a real emotional component to being in your own space and being able to stay connected with the people and the things that you value, that we really can't even quantify. It's just so important.
Mm-hmm. And Diana, in that end of life period, why is and how is being at home so important?
Well, I think back to my stepfather who died on hospice care back in 2007, and his choice was to be in his recliner where he could look out the living room window and see the deer come down, you know, every day. And it's like that. It's like Emily said, being in a place where you're comfortable, where you're surrounded by family and loved ones, where you have your familiar, your place is familiar to you. It's less sterile.
Diana, let's look at the reality of what people have been dealing with during this pandemic, this isolation, and combine that with a loss of a loved one. How difficult has that been for the people that you work with?
Oh, it's added such a huge difficult dimension to everything. A lot of our traditions that we might normally do, like funerals or even just going to somebody's home with a plate of food or something like that, those things have changed, halted for some, just shifted for others, where we can't get together, people can't freely offer hugs of support. I mean, it's changed everything. So a lot of folks who are grieving are feeling very isolated and very alone. For those who are fortunate enough to live with family members, they have that. But a lot of people live alone, and when their partners, for instance, die, they're more alone. And it's extremely isolating, very, very difficult.
I don't want to make light of it, but when this pandemic is over, we are going to hug.
Yeah, I've had that vision, too.
You said the word, and, like, I think everybody who's listening right now thought, oh, please, just one hug.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am going to add one more stressful element to this, Diana, because right now it's the holidays. So right. How does that affect what people are going through?
Yeah, I've sort of called it the perfect storm. When we're isolated and we're alone and we're feeling deep grief, and then we enter the holidays where there's this, again, a cultural expectation and maybe a family expectation to be cheerful and joyful and, you know, bring in the light and bring in the presence, and oh my goodness, it's a lot. And so a lot of people just can't do it this year. They don't want to do it. They don't want to decorate. They don't want to cook. They don't want to, and it's okay not to. It's okay not to, to do Christmas or the holiday of your spiritual tradition. It's okay to opt out. And a lot of people are choosing to do that.
If you'd like to join the conversation, our numbers are 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You can email vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV. We're discussing the work of Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice with bereavement coordinator Diana Moore and director of marketing and communications Emily McKenna. If you have a question, you can give us a call at 244-1777, also 1-877-291-8255. Our email address is vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com. And we've got a call from Nancy in Morrisville. Nancy, thanks for joining the discussion today. Go right ahead.
Hi. Hi, thank you. I am so happy to be participating in this particular discussion. Earlier this year, I lost my husband rather suddenly. I am completely alone. I don't have kids. And he passed away shortly before the COVID situation. But I'll tell you what, when I heard that she was offering the bereavement support for spouses, I called to inquire. And I acknowledge that I actually have wonderful support from several groups and, you know, church, friends, et cetera. But I was interested that I wanted to give it a try to participate in this group, but I wasn't sure that I was going to stay. And I wanted to be upfront about it in case it didn't suit me. I cannot tell you how much I gained from participation. It was so valuable. Diana is an excellent facilitator. Over the time, and I think there were maybe seven of us in her group, I really gained insights and empathy, and I was just so glad to have participated, and I would most certainly recommend that anybody in a loss look into participating. And just thank you to the whole organization, but especially to Diana, because she just eased the situation so much. Thank you so much.
Nancy, that is a great call and high praise. And Diana, talk more about how you work with individuals in this situation, especially now with the pandemic and having to use Zoom, for instance.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Nancy, for speaking out about that. Zoom is a real gift. It's like being in the same room but not, you know, and people can be in their own homes, and it's kind of another comfort level in joining a group experience. So if somebody, if they're interested in the grief support group, just needs to email me or call, but I send the email link out to those who are interested. We've got a group that's going on now that's pretty full, another group that starts in January for spouses. But yeah, Zoom has been a big gift. And other than that, I make phone calls to families. That's my service. My end of the hospice program is to call loved ones after their loved one has died, and offer to be here with one-on-one calls if that's helpful, or the support group. I send information if that seems helpful. We have comfort bags for children that are pretty sweet, that are donated by the Northfield Women's Methodist Church, Northfield Methodist Church Women's Group, sorry. A few other things that we can provide for support for families.
Using Zoom, has it been a great learning curve for you, compared to how you've been able to, you know, provide your services in the past?
It's definitely been a shift. Yeah, I haven't been historically the most technically savvy person, but I've learned a lot. And facilitating with Zoom is just different. And it seems to work. I tend to keep time for folks and call on folks to talk so that we have, it seems like that, we have to have a little bit more structure, I think. But that is, seems to be all right, too. A lot of people, I think, feel safe with that structure. Mm-hmm.
Emily, how has the staff there at CVHHH stepped up during this pandemic?
That is a good question. I really can't say enough about how everyone at the organization, I think, understood the importance of continuing to carry out our mission and to care for Central Vermonters during this crisis and this pandemic. And, you know, I like to say that home health nurses, just because of how they do their jobs, they are so good at adapting and pivoting and getting creative. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of exactly what, you know, what they did. As soon as the pandemic hit, we just put in place a number of protocols and screening processes and acquired PPE and started communicating and providing education to staff so that they felt supported and were protected. And they really stepped up. And it's, you know, this has been such a challenging period in our lives, but it's been really amazing to see how really, like, nothing has changed in terms of their commitment to going out into the community and providing care. And, you know, Diana's, how she's adapted to provide the groups is just one example, you know, of many of how that's happened. So wonderfully, I would say.
Let's take another call. We have Paula calling us from Brookfield. Good morning, Paula. Go right ahead.
Hi there. For a long time, I've supported Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice with financial donations, just because I believe very ardently in the mission of both of those services. And it wasn't until just before the pandemic hit that I ended up as a receiver of those incredible services. My husband became suddenly ill, died after about 4 days of illness. He was in the care of their hospice services. And then some months after that, I joined a support group, like Nancy, your previous caller, and that support group was just incredibly helpful to me. Some of us have maintained contact with each other, continued to support each other, and a lot of that was due to the expert facilitation of Diana, who created a very safe and very caring space for us to all care for each other.
Well, Paula, I'm very sorry about the loss of your husband, but did this happen during the pandemic? And so were the support groups conducted over Zoom?
No. Well, the support group was actually over Zoom. My husband died February 1st, but the support group was over the summer, and I had to participate over the phone because my computer was too old to take Zoom.
We get it.
I'm in solidarity with Diana and all the technological challenges, but she did an expert job of bringing those two of us in that had to use the phone, that didn't have the technology to be able to use Zoom, and made us feel just as valued and able to participate as the people that could see each other. It was just terrific.
Wow, what a beautiful experience. Paula, thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Diana, I would love to, like, just open up the phones and have all your satisfied clients. This is really wonderful to hear. So how about some tips for people who are grieving? What are the things that you know, practical tips that you recommend to people when they're grieving?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. One is just to acknowledge that this is going to be a different time of the year. It's going to be a different season. It's going to be a different day. And just to acknowledge that and to try to accept it, even though that can be hard. But some specific things people can do. Lighting a candle is something a lot of people do as part of a ritual or ceremony, but it's something you can just do on a daily basis to remember your loved one. Some people, for the holidays specifically, set a table setting where that person might have sat. That can be a hard one for some, but for others it seems to fill a little bit of the void. And then that memories can be shared about that person, you know, like they're sitting there too. You can make a donation to somewhere in their honor. Sometimes giving to others is helpful for us to feel a little bit better in our own hearts. Have someone to connect with, even if it's a brief Zoom call or a FaceTime call or a phone call or maybe a car-to-car visit, but to make an arrangement, if you can, to have someone to talk to that day or during this time. Some people write letters to their loved ones who have died, and it's like a journaling experience, but maybe different, specifically to communicate with them in that way and in your heart, from your heart. There are lots of other things.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned that you have another support group coming up, I think starting sometime in January. So can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yes, January 27 is the beginning of our next group for spouses and partners who have lost loved ones. And all our groups meet for six-week sessions at this point. So I'm calling up my...
You're not so technologically challenged as you said you were, Diana.
I had my schedule in front of me on the computer, and then the computer page went off. But anyway,
of course.
Yes, and then in February we begin another round of general grief support for anybody who's grieving. I have a journaling group that meets when I have enough folks sign up. That's a guided journal using a beautiful book from Alan Wolfelt with prompts in the journal, beautiful, deep process. And when I get 5 or 6 people to sign up, then I do that group, and I currently have 2. So if there are 3 folks who would like to do that, let me know.
You can find information at cvhhh.org. Emily, the organization, is there a need for, I think we heard one of our callers mentioned making donations. Is there a need for that and for volunteers at CVHHH?
Yes, absolutely. We are getting toward the end of our fall appeal. We have some incredible honorary chairs, actually, kind of as the faces of this campaign, Ed and Trish Reed, who own a garden center in Waitsfield. All the information is on our website. So if someone wants to donate, we can definitely take that at CVHH office, in our office when we can, at events. So there are many opportunities to support our agency, and all of the information is on our website. So please go there.
That's Emily McKenna. She's Director of Marketing and Communications at Central Vermont Home Health and Hospice. And we've also spoken with Diana Moore, the Bereavement Coordinator at CVHHH. I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
And you can learn more about their work, again, at cvhhh.org.